In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Energemetra 6 podcast. I think we're on episode 10. My brain is a little scrambled here, but I'm pretty sure that's where we're at. I might look alone today, but that's because Mel didn't have any lines, and I have second and my third here with me to read a couple of these different parts. I was hoping to have the voice for Andrew come on to read the interval for part three, but that didn't end up working out, so I'm having... Second's going to be reading Shannon and Shauna, so I'm going to have her do the interval as well. And I'm actually looking forward to that. So let's actually dive right into that. So here's we're going with Bright Star. This is part three, Adamant, interval.
Their entire universe had become flight. Existence narrowed to nothing more than the gap between them and their pursuers. They were faster, but just barely. But the monsters had captured Resolute, and every time they began to pull ahead, another streak of light came at them out of the darkness, an enemy vessel forcing them to veer off, losing any ground they might have gained as Resolute cut the cord and inched closer to the intercept. Despite their greater speed, they had lost ground over the past week, as one vector after another arrowed into sensor range, and they changed course just enough to evade. There seemed no limit to the number of intercepts, slow and ponderous as they were, but Resolute was anything but slow. She was four times their size. There was no way to fight, even if they wanted to, for if they wanted to engage, one of the many comparatively slow, unstoppable juggernauts would catch them, and it would all be over before it began. Worst of all, it had become obvious to all three of them over the past day that they were being herded, slowly but surely, toward the one star they must never approach, to take in days longer than it should have for them to catch on, with terror blinding them and a lack of sleep addling their wits. But now they knew. Any hope the three might have had fled at that realization, but for a long time none of them could say the words that would make it a reality. It wasn't until they had closed in beyond the outer planets, slowing as any ship must, by dictate of the very laws of nature, that the oldest finally gave voice to what all three had known for days. He didn't insult his sisters by asking if they knew their lives were measured now in hours or minutes, rather than days or weeks. Instead, he simply said,
"We fight to the end, then?"
A glance to either side confirmed what he had already knew he would see, and he began to plot the cleverest course he could think of. To give them whatever ghost of a chance might be left. The moon, if he could reach the moon. But it was too late. The titanic wall of energy came for them, and their vessel's shields wouldn't hold it. It was impossible. In anguish and terror and anger, the three lashed out as one against their enemies. Most of all, they lashed out against Resolute, the friend that had once been, hoping to take it, at least, with them into oblivion. Then there was nothing. There was no end to the engagement. There was no transition. One moment the universe was there, a billion trillion stars blasting the energy of their light out into space. Tiny dots in the darkness while 100 streaks of light closed in from every direction. Then it was all gone. None of them knew how to react. They simply stared. For a long time, their world, which had been nothing but streaks of light that signified relentless, ever nearing death, simply stopped. Their vessel didn't stop, or at least they couldn't tell it had. But how did one measure the speed of something when there was nothing else in existence to measure against? There was no way to know how long it lasted. If time itself, even, had meaning in the empty beyond into which they had so miraculously and unbelievably been thrust. Then, they were again in the universe. Stars shone down upon them. But there was no fire, no terrible tidal wave of energy coming to sweep them away. It was simply space, with nothing around them at all, and the stars shining coldly upon them from the unfathomable depths. Eventually, they did move. Once started the automatic charting of nearby space, they ate and slept, then ate again. Finally, finding that the universe was no longer the one they had always known, with stars and constellations that were completely different from anything they had ever seen, they set a course for the nearest system that had a planet in the habitable zone and flashed away at speeds too great to comprehend. Behind them, as their engines overburned, an unmistakable streak toward what they hoped might be sanctuary, a silver ovoid four times their size materialized in the depths of space.
The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value-for-value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks, and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you. And we're back, and we're diving into Chapter 9 of Bright Star. So Bright Star, Chapter 9.
The seed that grew into the downfall of the ancestral Earth was nothing more than a tiny lie.
The Escape, Its Origins and History by Harold Reeve, Year 46, NST. Nate half expected, even dreaded, that the Telestry's gate would remain shut against them. Loredan's seeming willingness to let them go felt too good to be true. But when he and Ty reached the gate, there was no resistance. It simply swung open ahead of them, then closed again after they passed through. As they trudged down the walk outside the Telestry, Nate found himself gasping for breath, his sense of relief almost too deep to express. A few steps later, he turned and sat abruptly in the grass next to the walk. Ty stopped and gave him a concerned look, but Nate only shook his head. After a moment, he grinned weakly. "That is not a good place." Ty nodded.
"I felt it too."
He shrugged.
"Guess it just wasn't aimed at me so much."
Ty turned and flopped down on the grass beside Nate. Taking a deep breath, Nate reached out and opened his senses to Energemetra 6, not with the intent to use it, instead keeping himself focused as he had in class on the very first day at the Acralucum. It felt like a lifetime ago. Almost instantly, he began to feel better. The grim gray cast that had covered his whole world fell away as the vibrancy and light that suffused the building blocks of the universe came alive before him. Whether it was the trip through the void or the entropy that had originally invaded him, whatever had made Nate crave Energemetra 6 so strongly, this was precisely the corrective he needed. He reveled in the contact, his mind rapidly losing the lethargy that had plagued him for most of the last month. After a moment that felt like a glorious hour, Ty looked over at Nate and asked,
When they told you not to use E6, why didn't you just ignore them, Professor? Excuse me, Master Richland.
He grinned at Nate.
Was the strongest of them all. I watched her when you were doing telestasis together. You weren't even trying hard. She was all the way up to her limit. They could never have stopped you.
Nate shook his head, releasing his grasp on the fields. Power was the least important factor, not the most. Ty gave him a puzzled look.
What do you mean?
Nate smiled wanly at him. What if I could have just destroyed the whole telestry with all of them inside? Should I have done it? Ty frowned.
Well, no, of course not.
Why not? Nate raised his eyebrows questioningly.
They're not that bad.
And if I start breaking the rules and the other students follow my example and the Telestics can't stop me, what then? How is it my job to cause chaos in a place that took such a long time to build, at great cost to so many people? I wouldn't tear it apart just to save myself a bit of annoyance. Most of them are just doing the best they know how to with what they've got. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're not even trying to enslave anybody. If I wanted to tear something down, I'd have to start with the Dominion. Nate made a face. Ty nodded thoughtfully.
So is that what you're gonna do? Go tear down the Dominion?
Nate eyed Ty. What do you think I should do? And what are you going to do? Ty blinked in surprise.
I'm going with you,
He looked alarmed for a moment, as if he'd never considered the idea that Nate might not want him to go along. And Nate crooked a smile at him. After a moment, Nate changed the subject. Ty, why was Bundy picking on you? Ty snorted.
He wanted me to give some kind of dirt on you.
Nate shook his head. That was an excuse. Why was he really picking on you? Ty frowned thoughtfully.
Well, I guess nobody really likes him. They're afraid of him. They suck up because he's popular, but that's it.
It was Ty's turn to make a face.
The food chain at the telestry isn't very forgiving, even for guys like him.
Nate nodded. Power. The people in the telestry who don't idolize the Tenets are wrapped around that idea. Power is all that matters to them behind the trappings of their religion of the fields. Most of them don't even pay lip service to the Lightmaker now, who gave them the Tenets. They have nice manners, but all they really care about is who's got the most power. Richlant was the youngest professor I saw there. How did she get her position? Ty nodded back.
Yeah, okay, it was power. I see it. But why did Bundy run away after you let him hit you?
Nate shrugged. He's not really sadistic. He hit me because he had to do it to keep the little respect his friends had for him. And that he had for himself. Being strong is better than being weak, even if it's not really a reason for respect. I did something he didn't expect, and he didn't know what to do. Ty nodded thoughtfully.
Okay, but you can't really blame them for being focused on power, can you? The Dominion has them under its thumb, and they're evil. They're not just going to roll over and play dead if you let them hurt you like you did Bundy.
Nate snorted. There's a difference between helping somebody see what evil looks like by being gentle with them and giving evil people fuel to feed their furnace. Even evil has uses, though. Nate looked at his friend. Where do you think I'm going, Ty? Ty shrugged.
I don't know, but where you're going, I want to come.
Even if I'm not here to raise armies and kill evil people? Even if I'm not here to crush the Dominion for the Telestry? Oi! They both looked up at the call to see a figure hurrying toward them from the direction of the Telestry. It took Nate a long moment to realize that it was Kevan Radink. Kevan raised a hand in greeting, grinning as he came. Oi! Glad I found ye! Was afraid I'd be too late! Nate raised a hand in greeting in return as Kevan reached them. Kevan? What are you doing here? Spying on you, of course. Kevan grinned at him. Nate's eyebrows rose. What? Well, Loredan's got to keep an eye on you somehow, right? He told me to hurry up and follow you. See if I could get you to let me tag along. Kievan rolled his eyes and winked. There's plenty Loredan to know, too, though. The Keeper sent me to spy on him first, so the joke's on him. Nate shook his head. You're telling me the Keeper sent you to spy on Loredan, and now Loredan has sent you to spy on me? Is this real? Kievan shrugged. If you want to send me back, better do it now, eh? This could be fun, though, and Loredan gives me the shivers. Much rather come with you if it's all the same. Nate shook his head for a moment, then he laughed and rubbed his temples. So, is this a case of better the devil we know, or is it keep your friends close and your enemies closer? You're what, a triple agent? Kievan laughed too, but Nate stopped and shook his head, then eyed Kievan quietly for a moment. Lies have a way of coming back to haunt you, Kievan. You really want to come along? Kievan hung his head and shuffled his feet, but he nodded. Yeah, if you'll have me. I promise not to tell him anything you don't want me to. Ty snorted.
You're really gonna bring him along? Why would you do that?
Nate raised an eyebrow at Ty. For the same reason I'm taking you along. He asked me to. Nate raised his other eyebrow and gave Ty a meaningful look, then asked seriously, You still sure you want to come with me? Ty rolled his eyes.
You're the bright star. Whatever you do, it's got to be better than sitting in Richland's class practicing telestasis.
Nate grinned. Especially when nobody wants to practice with you because you're better at it than they are. Ty winced ostentatiously and grinned.
Too smart, too small, too good with E6.
Nate frowned at him for a moment, then said, Ty, don't make light of yourself. The future will be built on people who are beneath most of the world's notice. Nate nodded at Kievan, catching sight again of whatever it was Kievan had been playing with at the Great Tower, twirling back and forth between his fingers. The body of the thing, a tube like an expensive pen, was made of some sort of black enamel with what looked like brass accents. Nate thought he saw a screen or window in one end, and Kievan flipped it back out of view. Nate said in a dry tone, At least if Kievan's with us, the chances of Loredan trying to get someone else to keep an eye on us are lower, too. I'll take what I can get on that score. A distant rushing sound filled their ears, and all three looked in the direction of the spaceport, still far across Cassizia City from them. Descending from the sky was a tiny bright bubble, riding on a plume of multicolored fire. Ty pointed at the distant vessel.
That's really weird.
Nate looked at him, an eyebrow cocked in question, but it was Kievan who answered. Never seen a drive that looked like that. And the noise. What is that? Ty shrugged.
No idea, but it's not like anything I've ever seen before, and I've lived here my whole life.
Nate was about to answer, but he glanced up to the sky again to see the tiny dot with its multicolored fire descending over the rooftops of Cassizia City. And distantly, as if from a world away, something tugged at the back of his mind. It was gone as quickly as it had come, but the sense of purpose that had been tormenting him for his whole time at the telestry redoubled, bringing him to a laser focus on the strange vessel. Come on, he said, getting to his feet. That's our ride. The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order. Well, I'm having a little technical difficulty here, and I don't see anybody who has commented or anything, and that is the end of our reading for the day, so I think I'm going to call it here. Thank you, second. Thank you, third. I appreciate you both being here. And yeah, and you can say hi, like you can say you're welcome, something. You don't have to like just sit there like mice with your... Okay or not, fine. Either way, I appreciate you both being here, and thank you to all of our listeners, and we will catch y'all next week.